Okay, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel 44. And we will read verses 20 through 22.
Amen.
20 through 22. Amen.
They shall not take as wives widows.
Ezekiel 44.
Verse 20 through 22.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. They shall neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed. No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court. They shall not take as wife as widow or a divorced woman, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel or the widows of priests. Amen, Lord Jesus. So, this morning we want to continue our fellowship regarding the matter of the personal life of the priests. I really appreciate getting into this matter concerning the sons of Zadok. And when you think about the priests, you think, wow, there must be a lot of things that we have to do, and it's going to require a lot of effort. But we thank the Lord. I think it was good. Yesterday we saw, really, for the sons of Zadok, what is their principal responsibility is just to draw near to the Lord. Amen. And to minister to Him.
Amen.
It's very simple. Very simple command and a wonderful service to the Lord.
Amen.
And today, when we see that we enter into the inner courts, we see that we need to put on the linen garments, which the requirement is don't sweat. And I also very much enjoy that, right? Enter in and don't sweat. And when we enter in and we don't sweat, what do? We eat. This is the life of the sons of Zadok. Of course, it does require our cooperation. We need to put off the old man. And I was mentioning to Stefan at the break, I said, yeah, you know, if I have to sweat in the church life, then I know I'm in my natural man. Really, that is really the case. If you consider all of the things in the church life, or at least when I think about all the things in the church life, especially when I'm laying in bed at night, I start sweating. Sharon knows. I'm restless in bed. What's wrong? Did you dream about the problems in the church? Right? This is our problem, right? And so it's so good to come back to really see what is required for the sons of Zadok.
Amen.
In the inner courts. So praise the Lord, we're not here to sweat.
Right.
We are here to draw near to Him.
Amen.
And we are here to minister to Him.
Amen.
To really get to know our Lord, and then it will be Him who directs our ways.
Amen.
He will send us out. And so when you come to these next three verses, you're thinking, oh my goodness, they're telling me how I should cut my hair. And you know, when I was younger, this was always a battle with my mom. During it, you might not realize, when I was growing up, during those days, it was always a battle between short and long hair. All my friends had long hair, so I kept asking my mom, Mom, can't my hair grow longer? I would like my hair to grow long, like everybody else. So now we're here in Ezekiel, and it says, they shall neither shave their heads, nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed.
Amen.
So what does this have to do with the sons of Zadok serving as the priest in the inner courts? Even our hair now. But it's good. I really appreciate the word here. You know, if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you begin to see the principle regarding the length of the hair. And I just made it very simple. If you are bald, if you shave your head, there's no longer any covering. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, we realize man's covering is who? Christ. And who is above Christ? It's God. So, at least we need to realize is if we have a bald head, we have no covering, then that means we are in total control. We have the total authority. And this is not good if we are in the house of the Lord. If we are shaved, we are bald, we are not under the covering of Christ as our head, and then we are most certainly not under the covering of God, who is above Christ. So we lack the two most important coverings over our heads. And then what happens is we assume total control in God's house. And when we assume total control in God's house, then we have a problem.
Big one.
We'll have a serious problem. And this is eventually what causes the churches to be led astray. Because we are not under the headship of Christ. If we're not under the headship of Christ, what headship are we under? It's our own natural man. And if it is under our own natural man, we will most definitely lead the church astray. So, it is good. Do not shave our heads. Do not assume total responsibility or total authority. Let me rephrase. The authority. Do not assume the total authority in the church.
Amen.
At the same time, on the flip side, you know, well then, let's have long hair. Well, if you go to the other extreme, to have really long hair, for the woman, the long hair is the covering. It's to be submitting under the authority. Meaning to have no authority if you have the long hair. So that's the other extreme. It means what? Well, I don't want to make any decisions then in the church. We'll let everybody else do it. So you have one or the other. Either you must have it all your way, or I don't want to have anything to do with you. So this is the extreme concerning the length of the hair. And for some reason, when we should not make the decision, we make that decision. And when there is a decision that needs to be made, we don't want to touch it. Why is that the case? And so this is very important for us all to learn here in the church life.
Amen.
This basic principle. And it really comes down to, well, then when do we need to back off and let the Lord make that decision? And when is it that we do need to make that decision? I mean, how? How will we know? And praise the Lord. Yesterday we know. Draw near to Him.
Amen.
If we would draw near to the Lord, then we will automatically come under His headship. And then for every decision we make in the church, we need to learn to ask the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, what about this matter? Lord, how do you want us to serve in the house of the Lord? And this is a very, very practical word.
Amen.
And you know, the Lord gives us the best example as the one who leads the church. And I enjoy the verses here in 1 Peter chapter 5. Concerning the elders. The Lord is the shepherd of the flock. Verse 2 it says, The shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serve as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flocks. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away.
Amen.
My, what an example of our chief shepherd. When you consider how the Lord was with the 12 disciples, I mean, last night in the fellowship, you know, the Lord had to deal with Peter, James, John, the doubting Thomas, so many of these brothers, and they were always missing the mark. Always hearing, but never learning yet at that point in time.
Right.
And how did the Lord deal with them? And actually, if you consider all of you read through all of the disciples, even when Peter denied the Lord three times, did the Lord chew him out? No.
Not even fire him.
Not even fire him. He just had a look towards Peter. And
he
then
would have fired him.
Right? But I think all of us here, right? If you think about it, Andre, if you were left standing and everybody left you, what would you do? Fire them all. Right? But the Lord was not like that.
Amen.
This is why he's the chief shepherd.
Amen. Right?
And I really enjoy this example because this is a very practical word for us. Especially for many of you are young professionals. You are learning to bear responsibility in the church.
Amen.
And how do you go about bearing responsibility in the church? If you are entrusted to take care of the children in the children's meeting. I still remember this when I was growing up and the brothers shared with me, if you want to serve in the church, first learn to serve the children. And I was like, serve the children? But I would like to serve with the high schoolers and the college age. And the brothers just said, no, start with the children. And I had to go to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then you go in to serve with the children. Right? And when you go in, if you go in with concepts, you might come in and say, wow, okay, this brother, what he's doing, that's wrong. This brother, he's doing, that's right. And this one, this is wrong. No, this is wrong. This is wrong. And you have all these concepts. And if we are not exercised to be under the headship of Christ, what do you think will happen when you come into that situation? You have a mess. You haven't even served yet, and you will introduce a mess in the children's service. So when it comes to the matter of serving, we all need to learn to first come under the headship of Christ.
Amen.
And learn from the Lord in this way. Amen. You know, when I serve with the children, I learned a lot to be under the headship of Christ and how to handle so many situations. And I had the brothers there to balance me, right? Sometimes, you know, it's hard. Sometimes the brothers are correcting me. So I can take it one of two ways. If my head is shaved, I'm going to defy the brothers. Brother, you don't know what you're talking about. Don't you know? I know. Well, I really didn't know, but I know. I just had the book knowledge of what people told me to do. I didn't have the experience. But I know I'm going to defy you. That's if my head is shaved. But if you decide to have really long hair, what are you going to do? Okay, fine. You go do it. I'm just going to sit back and watch you do nothing. Okay. Where is the properly trimmed haircut? Right. And you know what? This was a big lesson for me growing up because I realized this lesson of serving grows. Because now today I am coordinating with the brothers in bearing responsibility here in the church. Can you imagine if we all the brothers, we come together for the conference call, our heads are shaved. Stefan will say, no, 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 it needs to be this way. And then Sam will say, no, it needs to be that way. And I say, no, brothers, you all are wrong. It's got to be this way. Can you imagine what would happen in the church conference if we did that? Or the other way around, right? Sometimes, oh yeah, you know, I'll be passive. I'm going to let my hair grow long. Yeah, yeah, let Stefan make the decision. Or let all the other brothers do it. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the conference in the last row. Right? This is having long hair. Where is the properly trimmed hair? So this is a very good principle, brothers and sisters. In the church life, we cannot be extreme in one side or the other side. We have to learn to come to the Lord. Lord, train me. Show me. I want to be under the headship of Christ. And it's good. We cannot do this by ourselves. We need to do this together with all the brothers and sisters in the church. Because it is through the brothers and the sisters in the church, we all are tempered together. Right? In a family life, I still have my wife to balance me. I like to have all the saints over every night. And my wife says, no, 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 not every night. Right? I like to go fast. She likes to go slow. Actually, it's the other way around. Sometimes she likes to go fast, I go slow. And then I have my children. Everyone balances. Right? And this is the proper experience here in our priestly life. Right? We cannot be extreme. So it's good to have our hair properly trimmed. Okay?
Amen.
And then in the next point, in the matter regarding be sober when serving in the house of the Lord. When we come into the house of the Lord, the real question is, do we come with a clear mind? Right? In the last meeting, one of the verses that was in the outline, it says that every thought be taken captive by the Lord. Are our thoughts taken captive? Are our minds being renewed? Do we have a clear mind? Right? In the house of the Lord, we all need to at least learn to use our head properly. Yes. Because if we don't know how to use our head properly, then how will we know how to use our spirit properly, which is even more hidden within us? Right? If we don't know how to take care of our mind, to use our mind well, then there's no way we can use our spirit properly in the house of the Lord. This matter of being sober.
Amen.
If we are not sober in the house of the Lord, then what will happen? You think about it. Drunk drivers. Why is it bad to be a drunk driver behind the wheel? Why is it bad? If your head doesn't work, you'll crash. You will have an accident, and there'll be fatalities, maybe. There'll be damage. Right? So, hey, if in your driving, you're told to drive soberly, then why would we come into the house of the Lord and be drunk? When you consider this, when we are drunk with wine in this world today, but for driving, what happens when you get too much wine into you? You become intoxicated. And when you're intoxicated, what is the first thing that goes? It's your judgment. You lose your proper judgment. That's why when you see the red light and you're drunk and you're like, oh, is that red? Should I stop? And then maybe I should stop. I have a delayed reaction. And before you know it, you're through the intersection and you get into a major car accident. This is the danger of being drunk. And if we enter the house of the Lord drunk, my goodness, then we will have a serious problem. Because we're not thinking soberly. We're not clear what the Lord wants us to do.
Amen.
Right? So in the matter of the wine, well then what is this wine that causes us to be drunk? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. What does it say here? Do not be what? Drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Do not be drunk, which is dissipation.
Amen.
Right? What is this word dissipation mean? I wrote it down here because I thought it was very interesting to see what the word dissipation means. Where did I write it? Okay, I must have deleted it. Okay, but what I thought when I was reading the definition of dissipation. Dissipation, the first meaning is it's just scattered, diffused. But the second meaning, which is even more appropriate, is to overindulge, to splurge, or not splurge, well, to... No, it's more to be excessive in behavior.
Excessive.
It's excessive. You get lost in the excess of wealth, in the joys of this life. And I thought this was very appropriate because, you know, what is it that will cause us to be drunk when we when we are in this world today, besides drinking a lot of wine, physical wine, we could be drunk with the things of this world, especially concerning the pride of life. You know, in the Bible, there are a few examples regarding the matter of not being drunk. And you know, one of them was with Noah. You know, the Lord used Noah to build the ark, to save the creation. He was faithful to follow the Lord in that way. But what was it that happened to him after that? He got drunk with wine. And what happened when he got drunk with wine? His nakedness was exposed. This could happen to us in the church. If we are drunk with the wine of this world, then we will be exposed. The nakedness, the ugly nakedness of our natural man will be exposed in the church. And this would bring shame to the testimony of the Lord. And, you know, when I say the pride of life, if you go to Daniel chapter 5 regarding King Belshazzar, he was the king. And he was so proud that he was drunk, and he had the people bring out the vessels of God that was in the house of the Lord, and they used that. They filled it with wine, and people drank from it. They got drunk with this. And they were worshiping the idols of the gold and silver and all of these images. And he did not give God the glory. He was so proud. And what happened to him? God judged him that very night. And he was killed. So if we are not careful regarding the pride of life today, we can also be exposed. And if we let it get out of control in the house of the Lord will even judge us here in the house. This pride of life, if you think about it, you know, when you're at school, what do you shoot for? You shoot for the best grades. I'm not saying don't shoot for the best grades, but what happens when you get the best grades and people start appreciating you? I'm not saying it's not bad for people to appreciate you, but if you always hear about people appreciating you, wow, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good, eventually you get drunk on that. To the point you think, yeah, I am the best in my class. Yeah, you should be listening to me. I'm the best. And I know this happens for sure at work. When I worked at Microsoft, everybody was looking for praises, appreciations. If you don't thank people for what they did for you, they get mad at you. But you know what happens is when you start hearing enough of that, you become, you know, the top guy. And what happens? You get drunk with it. And there's this expectation. And now you're on top of the world. And this is a problem when you get drunk with all of this. Amen. And then this can apply to us here in the church life. Well, I read through the Bible in 1 year. Well, I read through the Bible 3 times in 1 year. Well, I read more of those books in that library than you did. You read 5, I read 10. So I know more than you. So I know more than you do in the church life because I read more books. What happens? We're not saying books are bad. Actually, the books, if used in the proper way, with the proper heart, then they could be helpful. But if we are not careful, we could even get drunk on the spiritual matters. We're here for Christ in the church, but we can easily be caught up in the numbers. Well, how come you have how many in this locality and how many in that locality? And you could get drunk in all of this. So we need to be sober, brothers and sisters. When it comes to the matter of serving in the house of God, we have to be sober. Or rather, in Ephesians, if you get to Ephesians 18, it says, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Right, so brothers and sisters, let's be careful. Do not be drunk with wine. You know, if Monday through Friday we are drunk with the wine of this world, what do you think will happen on the weekend? Can we be sober instantly?
Hangover.
We'll have a hangover. And if we have a hangover, then we got this bad headache, and then we can't think straight at all. And we're definitely not sober. Right? So, brothers and sisters, this is a matter of the exercise. During the week, so many areas in our life, Lord, are we living soberly before you? So that's why in Thessalonians, it says, be sober. Paul charges us to be sober.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but let us who are of the day be sober. Don't be drunk as those who are drunk at night, but be as the one of the day, be sober. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. So brothers and sisters, again, you know, in our preparation and coming to the house of the Lord, in the same way, when we put on Christ, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with the wine of this world. And then the last very practical point here is the matter regarding marriage. And I also very much appreciated this verse here in Ezekiel chapter 44. Let me just get the verse again. Because this is it's a very practical verse. It says, they shall not take a wife, they shall not take as wife a widow or a divorced woman, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel, or widows of the priests. You know, the matter of marriage, what is very clear in this verse is, marriage, when we get married, we should pray, Lord, give us a spouse that share the same goal, to serve in your house. If we all here, after this conference, we realize, Lord, I want to serve you, a faithful servant in the house of the Lord. We all want to be the first fruits. We all want to enter into the inner courts. If this is our desire to be faithful to the Lord, then when we do become of age and we are going to settle down to get married, then it's important that we find our counterpart who is also 100% with you in this service to the Lord. You may not realize this, but your spouse and your family could become a very big distraction when it comes to serving the Lord. I've grown up in the church and I've seen many, many couples. And if the couples, if their goals are not the same, it does become a distraction. Maybe the husband wants to be given for the church life to serve, but the wife complains all the time. No, no, no. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Or vice versa. It may be a sister who is given for Christ in the church, but a husband that does not share in the same goal. This becomes a distraction. They may not leave the church, but all of a sudden you lose capacity amongst them. A brother that may be serving, but because a wife is holding him back all the time from serving in the church, you lose that brother. He might be still meeting there on Sunday, but no more capacity to serve the Lord in any other respect to the church life. The same thing with the wife. That could also happen. And so this is also a very practical and a serious matter to consider when we consider our future spouse.
Amen.
Right? You know, it says here, they shall not take as wife a widow or a divorced woman. This was interesting. When I heard this the first time, it means that you've already lusted for that person. You've already lusted for that person. The lust of the flesh, brothers and sisters, is quite strong. Don't think that it is only youthful lusts. It's also, when you're older, the lust will always be there, the lust of the flesh. So when Paul writes, flee youthful lusts, it's not just the youthful lust, it is the lust of the flesh, period. And it applies to all ages. Okay. And don't think it can't get to the best of us at any age. Look at what happened to David. What happened to David? He lusted for Bathsheba. And that resulted in a terrible situation. That even Bathsheba's husband was killed on the battlefield, ordered by David. This is what happens if we are stuck in the lust of the flesh. And then even more, what happened to Solomon? Solomon was who? He was the wisest man on the earth. And he built, or he led the effort to build the temple of the Lord, of God in that time. But what happened to him? Again, the lust of the flesh overtook him. He did not flee it. And he married so many foreign wives. Now, this is even more serious. What happens when he married the foreign wives? He ended up offering sacrifices to the foreign gods, to the idols, and defiled the house of the Lord in that way. So, brothers and sisters, when we consider who our future counterpart is, don't go by the way of the lust of the flesh. If the Lord is not in it, then you need to really ask, what is going on? This is why it's good. It says, and here it goes, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel, or widows of the priests. At least the virgins of the house of Israel, they are of the Lord. They still are pure before the Lord. Therefore, God's holy nation. And even the widows of the priests, they already know how to serve in the house of the Lord. This is really what we should be looking at if we want to be faithful to serve in the house of the Lord. Amen. Nothing is more wonderful than when you have a brother and a sister who loves the Lord and loves his church, who are both serving in the house of the Lord. And when they come together to marry, to be as one flesh, one couple, nothing is more precious than seeing this couple serving together in the church. Amen. It should not take away from our capacity to serve. It should really expand the capacity in the church to serve. Because now you have the counterparts together. And together they could serve the Lord.
Amen.
I really enjoy this verse in 1 Peter 3:7. Being heirs together of the grace of life. Okay. If you're here to become a first fruit, you want to be heirs of the grace of life. It's great if your spouse, your future wife, your future husband could share in this same reward. It says, husband likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life,
amen,
that your prayers may not be hindered.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, it is a blessing.
Amen.
It is really a blessing to serve together with your wife.
Amen.
I know, for me, This was a desire that when I would get married, I wanted to marry someone who also loved the Lord and also served Him in His house.
Amen.
And the Lord knows the best. The Lord knows all of our needs.
Amen.
He will give you the best. He will not hold back. Why would He hold back the best for you? If you care for His house, then for sure He will care for your needs. Right? And so, this is the main point here. When we are serving in the house of the Lord, and we are settling down to get married, your spouse should also love the Lord. Your spouse should also, in your same way, to serve in the house of the Lord. Otherwise, this will become a distraction and this will be a problem. Not just for your own marriage, but also for your family life, because later on you'll have children. Your children can also be a distraction. What are we here to do when we raise up our children? What is the goal of raising your children? Is it to raise our children so that they will be getting the best jobs? Well, that's not bad, but is that our main goal? Well, hopefully, we should raise them up for the best of the best jobs, that they also would become priests, that they would also serve the Lord in His house. And ultimately, that they would be the generation to bring the Lord back. This is our prayer, and this is our hope.
Amen.
So, may the Lord really work in all of us in these three practical matters. They're very simple, but they're very impactful in the house of the Lord. So, amen. But in all of these cases, if we draw near to Him,
amen,
the Lord will really lead us in all of these areas.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.